I think that was a big switch for me doing the Camino. I can see it now with sort of perspective. I've been always sort of chasing something that I just, when I finish this, I will be satisfied. When I finish this, I've always been sort of aiming at something and sort of maybe then I can relax, maybe then I can relax. But during that Camino, everything became so simple. It was like so many things that happened during this hike. I hiked a lot with a guy that didn't walk that fast. And I'm used to sort of hiking fast and, you know, meeting the goal the quickest. But then I realized there's no point if I sort of make that daily hike in 4 hours or 6 hours. That's what I'm going to do for the day. It's doing the hike. It doesn't really matter if I stress. And then I sort of stopped and more enjoyed the conversations on the way and stopped maybe for a longer coffee with people I met on the hike. So that was sort of just a small thing for me in gratitude to sort of enjoy the company of people instead of rushing to a goal.
Stay connected to gratitude. Hit the follow button right now and join thousands of listeners tuning in each week. We're the Gratitude Seekers. Come join us. Hi, Gratitude Seeker. Our guest today is a Swedish entrepreneur, change maker, inspirational speaker, and life coach. He's also the author of The Vulnerable Man, Break Your Patterns, Master Your Emotions, Reclaim Your Life, which was inspired by his own struggle to reconcile his everyday life and emotional turmoil that he was experiencing. As a HSP himself, Anderson tells the story of his own struggle with burnout to ensure that others might learn or relearn how to listen to their inner voice and how to handle their emotions in an overwhelming world. Thomas Anderson, welcome to the Gratitude Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's my pleasure. So let us know a little bit more about you, about your story. I'm really curious how you got to create this book and how you got to identify yourself as a highly sensitive person.
Yes, I think sort of my main journey started in about 6 years ago when I was sort of stuck in life. I'd done everything you should have done. You know, I was married, I had the kids, I got a new job and doing sort of whatever I wanted to do at my job. I sort of took on new challenges. But still, there was this sort of inner turmoil. I didn't feel enough. And I don't know, I've always been like a helper and helping people. But I don't know, I think like at that time, it was just like too many things that I was doing and being there for everyone, but maybe not being there for myself. And I was like, yeah, on my way into burnout and feeling depressed and just overwhelmed about everything. But also at that time, there was this little voice that this is not the way life should be. So I just realized something needed to change, and I took like small steps back and got help from friends, coming back to myself in a way. And on that journey, I got into contact with the HSP, highly sensitive person, and that sort of made so much sense for me, taking in more information and being overwhelmed. This sort of treat that I have been like felt that I'm so wrong. I sort of overthink and I think too much and I get overwhelmed. There's something strange with me. But now I realize it's just something different and I just hadn't learned to handle my emotions and seeing it clearly in a way and having the tools to master these things. So that was like the big start of like a long journey of me finding my way back. And I went on the pilgrimage, the Camino down in Spain. I changed my jobs. I started my own business. And also during this time, there was a lot of talking about men and the Me Too period there when you talked about men and masculinity. And then I sort of realized going through my process, I saw that the need of conversation and sort of opening up and talking about these sort of these inner thoughts that I had been sort of struggling with, it was needed. It was like you needed to open up in a way. And then I saw that I have written a journal for many, many years. And then I thought maybe my story, sharing my journal together with my experience, can help others to open up and help them on their inner struggle. Because that's what I have felt is sort of maybe the hardest thing, is to take these steps and sort of meeting your own anxiety, your own worries, when you sort of do something and you feel, I'm just the only one thinking like this. And no, you're not. It's human, and it's a way back.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it's something very powerful to do, because we are wired in a way that being vulnerable means that we might die, actually, if we take it to the end of it all, and we might be rejected by others. We might be cast outside the group, outside the tribe, and that means that we're, like I said, basically in danger of dying. And but the powerful thing is that, of course, we all have these kinds of inner struggles, and if nobody speaks about them, we think we are alone struggling with these things, and that's not true. And it's very powerful when someone writes about these things and is open about these things, that we feel that we're not alone, and that that means a lot for many of us, that we realize we're not broken, we're not damaged. It's just something that most of us are going through, and it's part of being human. And you also mentioned this idea of the digital age and the amount of information that that comes to us each day. And I was thinking that indeed, our brain hasn't been able to adapt, because let's say 100 years ago, we had so much less information to process in a day than we do in an hour now. Like, it's such a huge difference. And I think it's very interesting that you focused on that as well. It's a problem that we all experience nowadays, and I'm really curious if we can explore this a little bit more. How do you see this influx of information has affected us?
Well, I sort of also got perspective on my own journey, and I realized what actually happened to me in a way was, it was in 2015 when I sort of got the burnout and sort of those dark feelings and thoughts. And also at that time, I sort of had been very digital and working as a management consultant, sort of being available all the time, using my phone, checking my emails. And I was sort of deadly efficient. I did everything. I could be so available. And I sort of see now that I was quite early into the digital stress. And I didn't see it coming in a way. And I think that's what, in a way, is maybe one of the struggles that we are facing now. It's a paradigm shift in the way we are, in the way we work. Since we have, in a way, we have more food on our tables, we have roof over our heads, we have more things, we have more products, we have the material things. And also now we got the information that sort of, I don't know, in a way puts us into a new time that we need to be very conscious about, because the things that maybe we did before, we needed to move to get our food, we needed to work with our hands, with our body to get things, to get material, to build a house. We can now sort of stay in, sit on our sofa, work on our computer, and consume as much information as possible, and we do everything right as humans. But it's also sort of, in a way, destroying us, because we should do these things, that going outside, we need to do our exercise, we need to be healthy, and we need to sort of reduce our amount of information. I think that's sort of the big thing that is sort of the tricks the mind today, because we should rest when we have time, because we should be alert for hunting or alert for if any danger comes up. So we should rest when we have the time. So that's what our body tells us. And also we should eat when we have the possibility, because usually there's a scarce of food. We don't have enough food. And also the next thing then with information is that we should check for information. Are there any risks? Are there any opportunities? And we should sort of continue searching for information. And that's what I see as maybe a highly sensitive person, is that I'm more open to all this information, to sort of checking. I'm been a project manager and doing planning. So all this information now, when there is no stop, there is something new that's happening to us that we need to actually say, this is enough. I need to sort of balance myself. It's just the same as you don't drink alcohol the full day. You don't smoke all the time. You do these things. That's okay. It's good with candy, but you don't eat it every day and all the time, because you know it's not good for you. And I think that's the same thing with information. It's very powerful. It's very good for us, but also too much is not good. So it's this sort of shift that we talk about. And I usually take an example. When we talk about surgeons and doctors in mid 1850, they didn't wash their hands between surgery and help or taking care of dead bodies, because we didn't believe in bacteria. And this researcher sort of found that, well, we need, if we start cleaning our hands, or the surgeons clean their hands, we can reduce the fatality rate on mothers when they give birth. And it was reduced from like 12% down to 2%. But it took like 15 or 20 years before it was accepted in sort of the society or among surgeons that you should actually wash your hands. And today we maybe laugh at that and say, hey, it's kind of stupid. It's quite normal that you should wash your hands. We all do it, especially now in the COVID times. And I think there is the same thing. We have been smoking and it was also good in the beginning. And now it's like, maybe it's not that good. And we don't see information. And I think that triggers us and some of us more. And it's also this sort of, in a way, dangerous for us if it's consumed too much, and we need to sort of balance or wash our mind from all these impressions and emotions and things that happen during a day. I think that's a big switch, and it's new for us and we don't know how to handle it. And that's what I see. We have this increased mental illness, and people sort of, we don't have the tools to handle it. And that's what I want to talk about, is sort of to find a way back in understanding our emotions and handling all these inner thoughts and reactions that we have that are normal, but now it's overwhelming. But we didn't need to learn this growing up, because it was not a problem at that time, because then there was time where there was nothing to do and your mind could rest. But now you may need to make that conscious decision to actually give your mind a rest. So I think that's sort of the main part.
Exactly. And there is this interesting thing that I've seen in my own experience with information. For instance, my mom grew up in the communist regime, and they had, I think they had 1 hour of TV per day or per week or something like this. So information was pretty scarce, and they only had one type of information usually that was highly controlled. Mm-hmm. And after the communist regime fell, she was very interested in finding out new things and getting information. And as I grew up, she wanted to give me that, to share as much information with me as possible, because she didn't have access to that. For her, it was a blessing that she had so much information, and she wanted to share it as much as possible. And she would cut different pieces from articles or from books, and she would send them to me and things of this nature. And she still has this habit on Messenger, on Facebook. She keeps sending all kinds of information. And it's really interesting to see how some patterns from that period have remained somehow, and how the fact that at some point it's like similar to hunger, when you had a period when you didn't have much food, you want to eat as much as possible and store as much as possible so that you make sure that you're not going to go through that again. And for me, it's very interesting to see, because I was born in an era where, when I had access, free access to information, and seeing that the contrast was very interesting for me. But what I also wanted to get to is maybe this is a stereotype, so I don't know if it's the correct one, but what I know about people in Northern Europe is that they have this ability and this habit of going out in nature, and even going out to remote places where they don't have mobile signal, or just that are quite remote. And I think that is actually a great idea for this digital age, to take the time to disconnect, right?
Mm-hmm.
Giving a gift that supports someone dear to your heart can be a real blessing. Woohoo You made it very simple for you to offer a memorable gift that your loved one will surely cherish for the rest of their life. Help him or her feel appreciated and valued right now. They might need it more than you think. Go to georgianbenta.com/woohoo or visit the link in the description to find out more.
Yeah, no, I think I believe nature is very healing in a way, and it's also a normal thing to be in nature. And I'm doing a lot of hiking, especially after I did the Camino, the one in Spain, and it's just so relaxing to be out there. And I think I sort of see it as, if you sort of look at the mind as well, like if you are in nature, or maybe up, you're at a place, location where there's not that many people, and you sort of have control over the area, in a way your mind can relax because you have control of the area. There are no dangers around you. Then sort of maybe subconsciously you sort of relax more, and you sort of are in that sort of quiet place. But imagine if you're going on in a city downtown, or you're around information all the time. It's subconsciously you are a bit alert all the time. There's something could happen. Is there a danger? Is there opportunity? Is it something I need to be aware of? Will these people I meet, will they attack me? Of course, you know they will not attack you, but still it's, if you look at human, it's about surviving, and it's about being in sort of not being in danger and trying to be safe. So I think that's sort of a mental thing that helps you in nature. And they did a lot of research now. I think it's mainly from Japan when they do this. I think it's called forest bathing and being out in nature. And yeah, there is something there. I think that also it's humans, we have been living in nature for 99% of our time in a way. So it's nothing strange. It's these new times that are strange. And I'm also just want to sort of thought about the thing that you said, like when you're not having information and getting information. And also like it's just changing. Like before we didn't have that much food. And it was like, if you came to visit, it's like, have you eaten? Do you want some food? And then maybe it was information that you were bored and you didn't have anything to do. So you help your kids, or let's entertain you, let's do something. Because it was something that you didn't have, and it was boring to be having nothing to do. And then you sort of course, we need to entertain you all the time. And now maybe we have pushed it so much that we are entertained all the time. So it's always this sort of, it's a good cause, like you said, with your mother and sort of giving you information. But now it's an overload of information. And it's also that switch of, yes, for me, nature is a good way just to, maybe it's also helping you to distance because there's nothing you can do. And also you can add movement. I do a lot of hiking and it's, you just walk there in the woods and it's very sort of soothing for your body. I remember when I did the hike in Spain and I met this Italian lady and we talked about hiking and what sort of, what's soothing with doing the hike. And she said, well, by hiking or by walking, you melt the snow in your body. And that's sort of really touched me in a way that it's because of when I was on my Camino, I sort of went, just gone through a divorce. And I was, you know, very sort of sad and upset. It's been a very upsetting times. And it was just so right doing this hike because just walking and you can just feel maybe some emotions came up and you were crying and it was just like, but you just continue walking and it was like just cleaning your body in a way. And that sort of helps me so much now as well. It could be when I have busy times, it's, I just sort of have my fallback sort of strategy. If I'm overwhelmed, if it's too much, I know, okay, let's go into nature. Let's go for a hike. Let's go for a walk. Let's do something because it helps me to relax. So I think that's, especially during these last years when it's been, of course, in Sweden, maybe we've been able to move around more than in other parts of the world. But for me, like doing the hikes and doing outdoor things, it's been very, very soothing. It's not that you maybe are sort of have the happy feeling all the time, but still it's accepting it and just sort of giving your body the time to digest the things that goes on.
Exactly, exactly. And one of the things that most of the guests on the Gratitude Podcast have shared is that nature is a great, being in nature and nature itself is a great way to reconnect with gratitude. And I'm curious to find out more about your perspective on gratitude. Like, how do you define it? What is gratitude for you in your perspective?
Yeah, I think, well, there's so many dimensions in a way on gratitude. But for me, it's being thankful for the small things, thankful for the things that you have around you. And also, yeah, I think that's actually reflect on what you have, because sometimes it's been that we're chasing things so much. I think that was a big switch for me doing the Camino. I can see it now with sort of perspective. I've been always sort of chasing something that I just, when I finish this, I will be satisfied. When I finish this, I've always been sort of aiming at something and sort of maybe then I can relax. Maybe then I can relax. But during that Camino, everything became so simple. It was like so many things that happened during this hike. I hiked a lot with a guy that didn't walk that fast. And I'm used to sort of hiking fast and, you know, meeting the goal the quickest. But then I realized there's no point if I sort of make that daily hike in 4 hours or 6 hours. That's what I'm going to do for the day. It's doing the hike. It doesn't really matter if I stress. And then I sort of stopped and more enjoyed the conversations on the way and stopped maybe for a longer coffee with people I met on the hike. So that was sort of just a small thing for me in gratitude to sort of enjoy the company of people instead of rushing to a goal. And also the gratitude of just getting the food and you've been hiking the whole day and just getting a coffee or getting the food and people are so friendly and helping and actually give you food on your table. That's also maybe things we take for granted, but it's also these small things that I think we need to stop somehow and maybe think, when was the last time that you were actually hungry or hadn't eaten for a long time? And just like stop, no, maybe that was a very long time ago. Maybe you've been a bit hungry, but maybe not really if you compare it to other parts of the world that actually don't have food. And stopping back there and sort of seeing things that we take for granted today, it's, in a way, you look back a couple of hundred years, it's a luxury. And also seeing what your parents and what other people have done for you, even though maybe you feel a situation that it's, have a bad situation and this has happened, but still, there are still people around you that are fixing things and helping you and have a good heart. Of course, there's people that maybe don't do that, but the majority are like you and me and the people listening and the friends you have. It's good people, and they do the best with what they have. It's maybe a long answer on gratitude, but I think it's so many things to think about. And I think one last bit that I think made a big impact on me doing this and coming back to the Camino still, but it was that when you're doing this hike, it's you go like 25 kilometers a day and you have your backpack and you have like three t-shirts, three pairs of underwear, you have your jacket and you have sort of the water bottle and things like that. And I just remember one day or sort of, I think it was one evening, and I sort of packed my backpack because you want to be ready in the morning to start the hike. I realized how different it was for me. I was sleeping in a room with 12 more people. I've been usually sort of working in the business and traveling and living at hotels and having the sort of that kind of life. But here I was so free. I had everything I needed in my backpack. I had my shoes. I knew that tomorrow I'm just going to pack my bag. I'm just going to make sure that I have everything with me. But then I'm going to hike to the next place. I'm going to sleep there. And it was just so simple. And it's made my life so much simpler also now coming forward. It's, I don't need that many things. It's, you always meet people around you, and it's being sort of, I think I've been for also been sort of hooked into the material things that it's, we don't need that much, but it can also hold us back that we want that house, we want that car, we want that TV, we want this and want this, but all these things actually also stops us from living in a way. So for me, sort of gratitude is coming also back to the simple things and seeing people. And being grateful for the things that you get and also from people helping you and also helping others. Long answer, but I think that's sort of one perspective on gratitude.
I loved it. I loved it. And I think you pointed out so many of the important things about gratitude and about life in general. I think I love the example that you mentioned, the friend that you were hiking with, and it makes so much sense, and it's so perfect for someone that wants to do everything fast and maybe to be the first one or things of this nature to get that goal as much as soon as possible. And yes, sometimes it's just about being patient and just enjoying the journey and seeing the things that are going on around you and appreciating them. And that's such a beautiful perspective, and it's very related to gratitude and to what actually matters in life and what actually makes us feel grateful. Because of course there is a certain satisfaction with being good at things and reaching goals fast. But when does that end, actually? Because it's like, okay, I'm reaching this goal very fast. I'm making these sacrifices. I'm, cutting off relationships so that I can make sure I get this done as soon as possible. And then I get it done, I get the goal, and then what happens? Well, there's the next one, and you keep on doing the same thing, and hopefully at some point you realize, okay, what am I actually doing here?
No, I agree, and I think I see it also as a process that we have gone through. We have needed this sort of expansion with the industrial world, and because we have had starving, we have had not enough products, we have had rough times, and sort of thanks to all this technology, we have expanded and sort of, and actually that we can have this interaction right now over the internet and having a live podcast between Romania and Sweden. And it's we can sort of have conversations all over the world. So we have in a way, as a society, as humans, as globally, we are now connected in a new way that was not possible before. So we have reached a new connection in the world. Just imagine that it's not just this small group of people now. We can share knowledge all over the world. So it's we have created something, but also maybe we need to sort of also fall back now. We have created something. How can we enjoy it? Because now it's also we compare each other to people all over the world. It's not that you just compare with someone locally, like you're the best soccer player, you're the best blacksmith, you're the best programmer in your local place. You compare yourself to people all over the world. Who is the best podcaster? Who is the best author? And then you're sort of comparing to 7 billion people. And of course, there will be a struggle. But also looking back and maybe also going more locally, this is where you interact with others. But also we then compare all over the world. And that also triggers us in a different way because, well, I'm not the best. There is someone better in the world. But that's maybe not a good way to compare yourself with, because there will only be one that is best in the world. But still, you will have friends around you locally, and work is needed locally, and there's always things that you can do. And all this sort of efficiency, always being available, always doing things, because you can work 24/7, you can be connected all the time, but it doesn't work. And there I also come back to nature. And if we look at all the phases in nature, we have the springtime, we have the summer, we have the harvest in the fall, when you sort of collect all the different things from all the agriculture. And you're not mad in springtime if you have no apples in the garden, because you know, well, it will take time for the apples to grow. And also in the wintertime, you're okay with wintertime. You don't wake up the bear that sleeps, because you know it's sleeping now and it's wintertime, and you relax, you actually take a step back, which we as humans also did before we had the electrical light. It was a different phase. But now, since we have pushed ourselves so hard, we have the possibility, and mentally maybe we need to sort of think that we need to sort of take advantage of all the times. We need to do things. We need to do all these things. But do we? Because we have changed in a way, but we are still chasing after something that we maybe not need. So I think it's an interesting switch also there with nature and the sort of technology and the changes in the world.
Yeah, that's so true. And it, of course, this digital age is giving us many, many benefits, and it's actually helping us at some point to get back to nature and to be able to live a simpler life.
Yeah.
As long as, of course, we know how to find the balance.
Yeah.
Because like you said, many things are great if we don't abuse them, if they're not too much. And this digital age and all this connectivity can help us with gratitude quite a lot if we choose to. And I'm happy that our listeners chose to use this connectivity to connect with us and to connect with gratitude. But of course, it can also have a negative impact if we are using it too much, and balancing it out with nature and with disconnecting from all of this information is very important. Because I think that the biggest risk here is that we're not aware of how much information is coming towards us. It's we got used with it, and we don't see how hard it is for our brain, for our bodies to take it in. And I think once we find the time to to disconnect, to go out in nature. And we realize how good that feels and how simple it is. Then we can see the contrast and find ways to get this balance, because it's so important if we want to experience more gratitude, for instance. And I was very curious if you have any tips for our listeners regarding gratitude, like if you have some habits that you would recommend our listeners.
I think one of the main thing, as we talked about, maybe the digital world, I have been very affected by the digital world, and because I'm a sort of an empath and helper, and I want to be for everyone, and maybe be aware that you are one of those persons that want to be there for everyone. Then it's also sort of maybe an inner struggle, that because you want to help the world, but also there just helping one person is also a good achievement. So also having that gratitude of also see the things that you do, even though, well, there's so much more to do. Yes, but think of what you have achieved. See what you sort of create around you. I think that's one of the things. And also setting routines, I think, is crucial, since we can be this sort of connection all the time. To set your routines that makes you feel good. Start the day in a way that helps your body to wake up, and set different kind of routines, that maybe exercise or doing some meditation in the morning. It doesn't need to be that you do 2-hour thing, do a 15 or 30 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever. And also during the day, try to stop, because usually if you rush, it's you be in this sort of panic, or you're sort of in a flight or fight or freeze mode, as we talk about. Actually also stop during the day and see what's happened. And also end the day with also this sort of time to reflect. What did I do today? What am I grateful about? Because if you do these small things during a day, you can see that you have done a lot, and you can be more satisfied with what you do. And also then also be grateful to yourself and the things that you actually accomplish. And even though if it's small things, you might think this is nothing, but see these small things, because it's all these small things that makes a difference. It's not when you have finished your life or when you retire. It's all these things during a day. Then you sort of see life in a different way, I think. So it's, I realize I'm maybe the person with long answers, but that's my perspective.
No, that's perfect. That's perfect. I love long answers, and I love how thoughtful you are when you're answering a question. So I really appreciate that. So we are nearing the end of our time together, and I wanted to ask you, where can our audience get The Vulnerable Man, the book?
Yes, The Vulnerable Man is available on Amazon. So it's The Vulnerable Man, and just search for it there. Or you can also check my website. It's thomasanderson.se. So that's where you can find me.
Awesome.
On websites and Instagram and things like that.
Perfect, perfect. Thank you very much for your time, for being here with us, and for sharing all of these amazing ideas with us. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, Gratitude Seeker, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this interview. I really appreciate it. And if you could think of one person that would also benefit from it, share it with them. It might actually be the inspiration that they need to make their day, or maybe even their life, much better. Thank you so much once again. This has been Georgian Benta. Don't forget to keep seeking and spreading gratitude.
It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeld-Wen. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeld-Wen windows today. View our entire selection of Jeld-Wen windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now. Save big.